Hey gang, we all know that Spotify has become the ultimate app destination for music and music lovers. I have an account and I love it. I find new music by following Tastemaker playlists, and I make my own playlist that I share featuring music from guests that have been on the show. Well, did you know that aside from millions of songs on Spotify, they also have thousands of podcasts? All of your favorite podcasts, including How Did I Get Here, are available on Spotify. Just go to Spotify.com or download the app from the App Store. That's Spotify, the ultimate destination for music and podcast. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Alright, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host, welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a great week, whatever it is that you're doing. I had a great week, a very busy week, I'll tell you all about it in just a minute. Let me tell you who I got on the show today. I'm going to introduce you to a great new artist named Barbie DeFacto, whose brand new debut EP comes out on Saturday, June 23rd, and she's celebrating with a release show on Saturday, June 23rd, at the Townsend here in Austin, Texas, at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $10. They're free with an RSVP if you go to barbiedefacto.com and take her up on the free RSVP thing. We have a great conversation, and her EP is great. It's very new sounding for Austin. It's a new artist. She's got a great voice. She writes great songs. She recorded with my friend Tim Guerin over at Space, and where I spend a lot of time these days. It's a great EP, and you're going to enjoy it. Go to barbiedefacto.com to find out more and to get your free RSVP if you live in Austin, going there Saturday, June 23rd, all right? We'll get to this conversation with Barbie DeFacto in just a second. First, let me tell you what's going on with me. I moderated the artist management panel for Austin Music Foundation on Wednesday night over at Empire Control Room and Garage. And listen, man, these panels are great. This one was over the top. It was great. Had all kinds of management from C3 Management, my friend Jen Ronan, who manages Jamie Harris and Eric Tesmer, manager of the Strokes, the manager of Ben Queller and all this stuff. So we had a great conversation. I learned a lot. I think that the audience got a lot out of it. It was totally packed. And look out for those. Go to austinmusicfoundation.org and find out when the next one's going down. And come on out to it, because they're actually really informative. They help you out. You can meet all the people afterwards and talk to them. And, you know, they were taking music from people last night, too. So, you never know what's going to happen at one of those, right? Hey, I want to let you guys know that this coming Wednesday, June 20th, I'll be playing full band with my full band. I haven't played with a full band in over a year. We'll be playing on Wednesday, June 20th at 7 p.m. at the 1-to-1 Bar right here in Austin, Texas. So come on out and say hi. I'll be playing with Scrappy Judd Newcomb, John Chipman, my godson Sean Crooks, and on backing vocals will be the amazing Jane Ellen Bryant and Jamie Harris. Very excited to hear it. Come on, hear some new tunes. Going to be playing stuff from the EP. It's the whole band that backed me up on the EP. We had a great time doing it. We're looking forward to playing for the people. All right? All right, look, man, I hope you have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Enjoy my conversation with the amazing Barbie DeFacto, whose brand new EP, debut EP, comes out Saturday, June 23rd. And she's celebrating Saturday, June 23rd as well at the Townsend with her EP release party. Go to barbiedefacto.com for all of your Barbie DeFacto needs. And please enjoy my conversation with this amazing, talented, and totally entertaining lady, Barbie DeFacto. Let's get down.
Quick. Yep, we already confessed about creeping on each other online because you can find everything.
Well, it's part of my job. Yeah, but this job.
Oh, I see.
As a creep. It's weird because, you know, we know each other, but I did have one guest during South by Southwest, a girl that, like, when I opened the door, she was like, what the fuck did my publicist send me to? You know what I mean? Like, she was just like, she didn't know me. She didn't know what I was about or anything. She just, like, literally some dude opened the door and, like, this is his apartment. He's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Welcome to the Austin Love family.
Yeah, but she was from New Orleans. So she didn't really know. She just had no clue. And so at the end, I was like, you weren't sure about me when you got here, were you? And she was like, no.
It's part of the ride.
But we hit it off.
That's cool.
It's a terrible way to start this podcast.
Yeah.
Hi, Barbie. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I had my favorite latte this morning. So.
Did you? Is that your own latte or is that a bought latte at a local joint?
It's a bought latte. So I go to Epoch or Epic, however you want to say it.
I don't know how to say it either.
Yeah. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's potato, potato.
Right? Yeah.
But they are crazy chemists with their coffee. They like to measure it just right. The right amount of espresso beans, the right amount of, I think there's even chicory in there. It cuts all the acid out. It just tastes like, a brownie in a cup to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Can I tell you something that I liked? I got to see you and Mark, the other half of Marby.
Yes.
playing these songs unplugged.
Yes.
And you have an incredibly powerful voice. Not that you can't tell from your recording. Your recording is like, it's like a pop sort of like produced record where you might not be as good as you are as a singer. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not
saying I would doubt that. It's just like when I heard you, I was like, oh yeah, she is really good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only non-human part of the project, and you'll see this in my live performance too, is that, you know, I have all of the wonderful production and greatness of Tim Guerin in my set, but then all the vocals are me.
Yeah.
So, and it's my delivery is what I think that's the way that all great singers are too. Like you can connect with how somebody sounds vocally, like those two beautiful little strings inside your neck. Whatever that energy is, it's not for everybody, but it's for specific people. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the most important part in live execution. And I say that
it's
like connecting. A corporate. Yeah, connecting.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for that. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this EP is great. Let's talk about it. You made it with Tim Guerin over at Space.
Yeah.
Space, great sponsor of the show for many years.
They're
at a place
amazing.
I'm at every Wednesday from 11 to 2 if you ever want to assassinate me.
Okay. Assassinate you with hugs?
Yeah. Or just straight up assassination. That's
what?
Where I usually am walking in about 11, walking out about 2.
Oh, no. That's why we got to get some bodyguards up in here.
Well, sometimes there's cops in the parking lot. You ever notice that? Like they hide out there to catch speeders. But I'm always like, yeah, they're here for my protection because someone knows
as
I get
they should
11
be.
And need 2. So you recorded it there at Space.
Yeah.
They have a great studio there.
They've got tons of great rooms there. The big room is really special because that's where all the acoustic stuff that I did with Mark, that's where we recorded
that.
Yeah,
it's a good room.
Yeah. But as far as Tim's room, that's like the Zen room for me.
Yeah.
I'd go and I'd have my day and I'd be all worried about everything. You get in there and he's just so mellow and so chill. And I'm already kind of like a hyper anxious person, kind of at face value.
Yeah.
And getting in there, I'm like, I'm excited. But then he's like, he says the right things to allow me to deliver the way that I'm supposed to. And he's curious about who I am and who anybody is as an artist. Like, what do you sound like? What do you want to communicate? What kind of character do you want to put into your song? And he's brutally honest with you, but he's loving about it, you know, so he'll tell you like, that was a little pitchy, I'm gonna do that again, you know.
That's
a great producer right there.
Yeah.
And he got his training in Westlake, so as soon as I figured out, like, and this was part of me nerding out and figuring out like who you were over the course of a couple of months, and figuring out
me?
Yeah, you've already been signed. I on the way over, I listened to Drag City.
I was never dropped, by the way. I left.
Well, the,
that's part of our whole story.
Well,
that's a part that gets overlooked. It drives me nuts when people are like, oh yeah, and you guys got dropped. I'm like, no,
because
we passed on a lot of money. to be able to say we didn't like the situation we were in, so we just left.
See, that takes so much character, and I don't think a lot of people understand that. That's like...
It takes complete insanity to do that. It's probably one of the dumbest things I've ever done. But it felt real cool at the time.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And we got on the cover of Texas Music Magazine because of that story, too. Because people thought we were tough.
I like it. You're Texas tough. That's a thing. It's real.
That's what we thought. Okay, so you did. You were doing your research on that. Did you do your research on Tim?
Oh yeah, totally. He got most of his training as a producer. He cut his teeth at Westlake Recording Studio, where Michael Jackson and Quincy Jones
oh, right.
made all of those awesome hits.
Yeah.
So as soon as I found out that really weird, I made a crappy demo. I put it online. Heath Toll found me, who's the other, he writes with us, and he's part of the team, the artistic team that I have, and introduced me to Tim. And I saw space there, how beautiful and clean, and they offered me water, and there was a receptionist, and the floor was polished, and I'm like, okay, I'm impressed right now. This is really happening. And walked up and saw Tim's room and saw his Genelex, and I'm like...
Genelex are speakers, for those of you that are wondering.
Yes. Yeah, I'm a little bit of a nerd, I guess. Yeah. But
well, I just didn't want anyone to think like, what? She saw his Genelex. Yeah. They're speakers.
There's some art in there somewhere. Yeah. So yeah, so they asked me, hey, you know, you want to work with us? And they had me sing a little bit of Aretha Franklin was what I picked. And they were like, okay, yeah, we want to work with you. Do you want to work with us or do you want to think about it? And I'm like, I don't need to think about it. I want to work with you guys, you know?
Yeah.
And our first awkward date kiss was the Room for Two song. So like we didn't know okay. how we were going to work together
right.
until the first one that we worked on.
Yeah.
And I cried my head off because I'm like, it's the most beautiful thing ever. Of Aww. Course. Yeah. So so I'm in that part of my journey. Like I'm finally, these check marks of my life are kind of going off.
Right You're now. Hearing your stuff fully realized.
Absolutely.
For the first time.
For the first time.
So this
ever.
Is like your debut yeah, release.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You've never released anything else?
Not to this caliber and not this honest. Not that actually.
But you
sounds
did release
like
stuff?
Yeah, but it's not like super noteworthy to me. I mean, it's like the cut your teeth stuff, the demo stuff, the, you
See,
know.
I'm so glad that like, I'm glad I'm my age and like whatever I did, like when I was like 14, 15, like just like on some cassette in my grandma's house, probably terrible. But you know what I mean? It's not, yeah. It's not like I came up in the age where, oh yeah, that shit's on SoundCloud. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, there's some ahead. Of that yeah. for sure. Like, you know, some hip hop hooks or some house tracks or some things that I did, you know, way back then. Those aren't me. Those are me being a facilitator of what other people want or what other people right. heard. And so with this, I finally got, they just gave me carte blanche. Like, how do you want to deliver this? What do you want to say? I'm like, oh my God, this is the first time somebody's actually let me do this.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Is it tough because do you now have some sort of aptitude for recording yourself? Like, can you?
Yeah. So,
like, do you have some kind of situation like this?
I do. Yeah. I have a kind of it's a broken down. I have a little Scarlett, and then I just have an Audio Technica microphone, and mm-hmm. I've got my little pop filter, and I have my little headphones and everything, and a computer. So that's kind of how I. Got a sound out there mm-hmm. and I kind of reverse engineered it because I'm a singer. Like that's my strength is I can
melodies,
write melodies and harmonies words. And words.
Yeah.
And
so you're a good harmony singer too. If that's you on the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and Sally Allen's in there too.
Oh, she is.
Yeah.
She's a good singer.
She's amazing.
Yeah. She's pretty awesome. Her record's really good. Did Tim do something on her record?
Yeah. He, I think did a couple of, mastering things to it.
Right,
I think
he mastered it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, our friend George mixed it.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Yes.
Right.
So that's how I found out about Sally, and I'm actually going running with her after this.
Oh, yeah? Tell yeah. her I said hi.
I will, absolutely.
Where do you guys run?
Just around Town Lake. I still say Town Lake.
I do too. Are you from here?
I went to high school here. Yeah.
Okay. Where are you from? Let's do this. Where were you born?
I was born in West Covina, California.
Okay. Where's that?
That's Southern? Over. Yeah. SoCal, but like Glendora, more of the burbs area.
Yeah. You're naming places. I'm like Glendora.
So where the Rolls Parade is?
Oh, yeah. In the Pasadena, that area. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm down. Yeah.
So,
I had a girlfriend that went to Occidental, which is there in Pasadena.
Yeah, Occidental College. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So I moved there, moved from there when I was 11.
Okay.
So.
What's your family? Were your parents together? Was it?
So yeah, they were really young. They had a shotgun wedding. I was born 2 months later. And I had a mohawk when I came out. And my dad taught me to sing metal.
There's something about you to know that the hairdo that you had when you were born, and you've just mentioned it very casually, like, and also I had a mohawk. that's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
That's something I would say.
My ear was folded down, mohawk. You know, that's how it came out.
Yeah.
And both parents were also musicians. My dad.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Dad looked like Nick Rhodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on purpose.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
well, you look like you could be Nick Rhodes' kid. You know what I mean? That's pretty funny.
That's a huge compliment.
Yeah, I meant that as a huge compliment, by the way, too. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
Those fucking guys, man. They're cool. So what kind of music was your dad? I mean, obviously, he was
Well, they did...
Ordinary World in your... I was looking through your set.
Yeah.
Don't you? Mm-hmm. In your
and the covers,
set?
Yeah.
So I was like, that's good.
Yeah. That's his ringtone when he calls me is View to a Kill, so... Yeah.
Okay, that song this is a skyrocket argument, constant argument. There's a couple of guys that are like, what? That's a great song. I'm like... Dude, that song is so bad. Don't you think it's terrible? I mean, you think it's funny.
I like the guitar.
All I remember is those orchestra hits, like
yeah, like really cheesy James Bond.
1985, man. Once they introduced those orchestra hits, man, they hung out until like 89, 90. It was just like, oh God, someone's got to stop with this thing. Anyway, sorry. So your dad, what kind of band was it?
Oh, so that's kind of how they got together. So they met in choir, and he sang bass, and she sang soprano. I say that three times fast. And then they went through their transformation after they had me. They spiked the hair out, wore too much guy liner and hairspray. My mom shaved the side of her head, and it was blue. And they did a Christian hair metal band.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild.
It was called Final Hour, right? Like Rapture.
It's pretty dramatic.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah, I'm into it. Okay, so were they in the church and stuff, or was it like an angle, like a showbiz? Because I know there's both sides. There's like people that are like, oh, I want to play music, but I got to keep it in this framework so I'm not being bad. And then there's other people that are like, shit, man, those guys are making a lot of money. Like,
exactly. Yeah. Stripers, like... Still going. That's, you know.
They're still happening.
Yeah. In a far out way.
I didn't think you were going to bring up Striper in this podcast at all. You just took me completely by surprise. I don't know what Stripers sound like. I just know what they look like. I know from seeing their poster at the record store.
Yeah. So they've got that hair metal heavy vibrato when it's very much.
Didn't they wear like yellow and didn't like they dress bumblebees? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Totally. You got it.
Okay. So they were you raised in the church?
Yeah.
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 Are you still active? Are you a
I'm spiritual, person but
of
I'm not.
Faith?
Yeah. I have faith, but I'm not a religious
not in an
person.
Organized situation.
Correct.
Were you turned off by it?
I was because I feel like men can't really encapsulate or deify things adequately. You know, they try, lightning goes off and people try and encapsulate it and call it a god somehow, and I think it's much bigger than a container.
Yeah.
So I can't do it.
Yeah. There's something a little antiquated about that. You're like, hey, we know that lightning comes from, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. There's, you're like, hey, come on.
We have science.
Like, if in fact there is a god that's like real serious, I don't think he cares if you win this football game tonight. I just don't. I just really, I can't imagine with all the things going on in the world that he's like, man, the Panthers in Plano have to win this championship so they can be the 12A. I don't even know. I'm just saying things I've seen on signs.
Yeah, totally.
Anyway, okay.
You're following the signs.
So, but you were active in it. Were you like in a youth group and stuff? And
yeah, for sure. Did the whole thing. I was in praise and worship team with my mom, and so that's really how I kind of cut my teeth figuring out, okay, here's how to harmonize with mom all the time.
Yeah.
And it really helped build the congregation because I guess they enjoyed it. So that was another like, oh, okay.
What was the religion?
Well, non-denominational, but with affiliation to Southern Baptist Convention. So that's...
There were a lot of rules.
Yeah, for sure.
It's one of those rules. There's some that don't have a lot of rules. There's some that are just real laid back. I was raised like in a Catholic, like Hispanic Catholic situation, so...
Like
everyone's
Mark,
real sad and like
mournful and
praying to weird saints because you can't find your keys. And I mean, seriously, like weird stuff. Yeah,
I get that. Yeah. Start saging the house.
Like that guy by Kiss and Mr. Bill. There's like a saint statue up there on my speaker.
What saint is that?
That's San Pancracio.
San Pancracio.
He helps you. He keeps you in work.
That's cool.
Yeah. You're not asking for money. You're just asking for the opportunity to work.
That's really cool.
It's a very humble thing to ask God for.
That makes total sense.
All right. So you did that. Didn't know you wanted to do music?
I got bit by the bug when I saw my mom come out of the floor and start singing True Colors. I was eating an Oreo cookie. I just learned how to somersault, and I see my mom at Citrus College come out of the floor with a band.
Like hydraulics. Yeah.
And I was like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
And it's your mom. Did you look at her different? Like, afterwards, were you like, wow, you're like a super mom?
Always. Yeah. She is a super mom. I still look at her like that.
That's good.
Yeah.
But I mean, did you have like a... So then what was it? Then you start singing in front of the mirror with a hairbrush and the whole...
Well, it was more like I took the inside of my glow worm out, because when you squeeze it, it glows. And then I would practice singing that in my room to my little friends. And it was like Mariah Carey stuff back in the day.
Oh, yeah. No, I know exactly. I was that kid, too. Like, you had a show. Like, hey, you guys need to sit down.
Yes.
It's time for me to do this thing.
Yes.
So you guys all sit down and just watch me. I'm going to do it. Here I go. Yeah, I was that kid too. I was weird. That's an odd sort of like, it's odd to have like that ego as a little kid, but I see little, I have one of my cousins, that little girl in the picture there. She is that kid.
Oh.
She's like, okay, everyone listen to me.
It's adorable.
Listen up. I'm going to sing a song. You know what I mean?
Oh.
It's time for my show.
What's her name?
Her name's Elena.
Elena.
Yeah.
It's time for the Elena show. She's even got her owl going on.
Oh yeah, she doesn't mess around. so were you like that? How old were you when you did those when you did the bedroom shows for your friends?
Like 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little. And then were you older?
Did you see yourself like, I mean, like when I was a kid, I remember at a young age, even before I knew exactly what I wanted to do, my mom hung out with bands and I liked seeing the bands. That was real cool.
Yeah.
But what I liked was the part where all the band went and hung out together, like afterwards.
Like camaraderie.
Yeah. Like, these guys are in the inside of something and people come at, like these guys. It's like the difference between like, I want to watch TV and like, I want to be in it.
Yes.
I want to be the guy inside the TV.
Yes.
How do I get in there? Is that what you...
It was more for me when I saw Janet Jackson and Paula Abdul. Like Paula could dance her butt off, so could mm-hmm. Janet, and it was like they were the Rhythm Nation. They were gonna change something.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. But I think I also got a little bit brainwashed by Jem, the cartoon.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So
yeah,
she's definitely truly outrageous.
Are you friends with Totally Outrageous? Do you know Susanna Schoffel?
I've met her a couple of times, but I haven't gotten to be around her.
She's on a Gem soundtrack.
What?
Yeah. She wrote a Gem song. Yeah.
Awesome.
In fact, the last, last live podcast, but a couple of live podcasts ago, maybe it was episode 500. That's the song I played when she came on stage. She was like, dude.
It's not only the beginning, is it?
No, I don't remember if she wrote that. I can't remember, but it's like, I liked this song. I was like, oh, do more songs like this.
Yeah. Man,
apparently, I think Jem's truly outrageous as well.
Yeah, she totally is.
So you got influenced by Jem, and then you were doing stuff with your church and congregation.
Yeah, and it comes from that place of yes, I do want to propagate positivity and express myself, but I need to do it in the right way. And then at some point you learn, like, you are the right way the way you came out.
Yeah, takes a long time. I didn't figure that out for a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you ever want to act or anything? You're in the SoCal. Did you ever, like, Mom, take me down to the Disney?
No, I...
Take me to the Disney Channel
now. The Disney Channel, right this second. I need to catch up with Brittany and Christina. No, for me, it was dancing. I ended up doing a lot of education in that and have been a dance teacher a couple times. Yeah. But it was really more just sharing whatever I had to share going on in here with mm-hmm. people. And then also movement expression is big for me, too.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really, you know, I didn't want to be the actor kid. I didn't want to be that flavor.
Right. Yeah.
But I also had kind of cool rock parents too. So that was like not really the flavor that I'm attenuated to.
Right.
I like some things with some edge and with some tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
So
and your mom shaved the side of her head.
Right.
You were born with a mohawk.
There you go. Destiny right there.
Like Lady Gaga says, you were born this way.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true for everybody.
Yeah. But especially true for you. So you guys moved to Austin when you were 11?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, there was more financial opportunities for my dad. He was kind of an Apple nerd. Okay. He had an Apple II and Bondi Green thing and the whole bit. So the education system was better here than it was in California.
That's weird to think. Oh, maybe in Austin?
Yeah, in Austin. Okay. Yeah, right. For sure.
Like, just like that's like Texas. Like,
well. Not in general.
Yeah. No offense.
Yeah, no offense, anyone.
The state actually listens to the show.
Oh, okay.
Actually, you know what? The people in the state music office do listen to the show.
Oh, cool.
But the state music office is great in Texas.
Yeah, no kidding. They even have their own days, like, for musicians that they...
That's the city of Austin Music Office. There's a state one at the Capitol that's under the governor.
Okay.
And then there's a city one. Yeah, I know. It's really...
That's cool.
It's pretty unique. You don't find this stuff, like, in Houston or, you know, Dallas or even, like, really L.A. or something or San Francisco. There's no...
Grassroots infrastructure kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. There's a lot of infrastructure here that isn't anywhere, like Ham, Sims, like Austin Music Foundation. Like, all of these things are kind of like, they don't exist in other places. Strange.
Right.
And great.
It's great.
It's strange.
Totally. And the people that surround it are really sweet, kind people.
It's good people involved. Yeah. Yeah. That's why I like working with them.
Makes sense.
So you moved here. Your dad did he work for Apple?
Yeah, he got a job here. So
no more jamming?
Oh, always jamming. They're both. My mom's a jazz singer. My dad, he's got a cover band.
What's his band?
The Psychic Cowboys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What kind of music do they play?
They play anything you throw at them. It's I'm trying to think of
Psychic something. Cowboys sounds like the cosmic. It sounds like it's a tribute to, you know what I mean? It sounds like it's going to be
like
all
a
those
tribute
weird
band.
70s guys from here. Like Doug Somm and that whole like cosmic cowboy.
Yeah, I think so. They do Blinded Me with Science. My dad wears a lab coat sometimes with it. And, I mean, they just have fun. They've been together for like 18 years and, you know, they just have a good time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Science.
Exactly.
I love that song. I love that guy, Thomas Dolby.
How do you love him?
Just the way that you love artists.
Okay, cool.
Not in any specifically odd way.
Oh, Okay.
Just the regular.
I didn't know if you knew him personally.
No, I wish I did, though. Right? I wish I did. I was a big fan of him. You know, there's a story I heard him tell on a podcast where he talked about, I never knew this, but you know, like Foreigner 4, you know, like, I've been waiting for a girl like you. Yeah. What, all that synthesizer stuff. So they had this record, and Foreigner 4, and he was signed to the same label that Foreigner was on, and they sent him to New York to do press and stuff. And so somebody like from the label was like, oh, they're Foreigner is making a record, you can go there. And no one from Foreigner was there, and the producer was like, oh, hey, will you play synthesizers? No one in the band plays synthesizers.
Oh my
they
gosh.
Were like, you know, kind of fairly new at the time or whatever. So he was this synthesizer guru, and so he plays all those synthesizers. Like, that whole intro of that song is him.
Ding.
Yeah. That's yeah. He came cool. up with that whole thing himself. It's making the hair on my arm stand up, dude. I get so excited about music.
Yeah. Well, when it lands, I know.
Yeah.
I'm such a nerd girl, too. It's like, I get you.
So you moved to Austin. Where did you live in Austin?
So, I went to Westwood High School. So
Westwood?
So, like, North 183 okay. area. So McNeil's up there too.
Yeah.
That was a sister school. Round Rock was our other sister school. And like Canyon Vista's over there. So like that's the stomping grounds for me is up there. It's
okay.
All the important years.
Did you guys do family music stuff like Blues on the Green or anything like that? Or?
Oh, it was more church based.
More church based.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We didn't really break out until much later.
Okay. So when did you break out?
Oh, well, I left the house when I was 17 because I was chasing this shiny orb that I didn't know exactly what it was or what it looked like. And I went to Arizona to go pursue pop stardom.
Because that really is the epicenter of all pop stardom. It's Arizona.
Exactly.
What city in Arizona did you go to?
Phoenix. But I lived a little bit everywhere. So Glendale, Mesa, Chandler, Scottsdale even for a minute. So it's basically 15 minutes in any direction
right.
from Phoenix.
Yeah.
It's a big grid.
Yeah.
But they also had a really good dance school, and there was a family from my church that they were moving out there, and they had a really cute son. And so I was like, God's leading me out there. But really it was my hormones.
And they had a cute son. And,
yeah. So all the grownups were okay with it because I was going there for God.
Right. Really?
That was the guys it was under. I mean, but it was really because of a guy,
did
not
they
a
know
guy's.
Mark? Your parents?
Yeah.
Did they know Mark?
Oh,
they
my
like
gosh.
Him?
Yeah.
Okay.
They love him.
Yeah. Just he looks like rock and roll. He looks like a guy that if he went to the church, that people would be like, okay, listen, my daughter gets go sit in the car until this guy leaves. Not that he looks like a Moses. This guy's a rock and roll. Did you ever hear when they were on the show?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Guys, I never get drunk on the show. I got wasted with those guys. I was talking loud and slurring.
Yeah, they're wild.
They are wild. They are rock and roll.
They are totally rock and roll.
So, yep. Okay, so you're out in Arizona. Did you have like a job?
Yeah.
What did you do?
Everything I could. I mean, I it's not like I grew up with a silver spoon in my mouth, so I had to figure it out. And
right.
Yeah, I think my first full-time job was working at Macy's at the Biltmore doing the cash office and gift wrap at the same time. So I had to be very responsible very soon. And then I learned real estate, and then I put myself through school, but it was most for like dance education stuff.
Did you buy and sell houses? Like, what aspect of real estate were you in?
So mortgage loan processing and junior underwriting.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like practical, real world stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I wanted to make sure that I would be okay and support myself and get myself through school. So
that's kind of an odd thing for someone that follows a shiny orb to Arizona to hit the big time in pop stardom and a boy. What happened with the boy?
The boy went to the military.
Did it ever turn into anything?
No, not at all. Like, he disappeared into the distance, and I continued on my adventure. And I took every dance class that I possibly could in college. Like, my favorite semester was 7 dance classes at once, but they were all night classes because I had to work in the daytime. So, yeah, Arizona is definitely not the spot to start that kind of thing, but it was my start to that kind of thing.
Right. But no, like people like Rob Halford, Alice Cooper, Stevie Nicks, all kinds of people live there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a place to go once you're really famous, but
once you get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where'd you go after that?
Well, part of my odd jobbing, I ended up being a karaoke host. And one of my regulars was like, you need to move to Miami because they actually have a branch out there and now we can give them a demo. So took a leap of faith and went out there. The Habasha brothers, those are good dudes.
Became a karaoke host in Miami?
Well, no, I actually became, I worked for this place called Penrod's, yeah, Nikki Beach.
Penrod's on the beach. Yeah. I'm from Miami.
What? Okay. Yeah. I was one of those girls.
I was born there. My family lives there. I went to Miami Beach Senior High School and Columbus High School.
Okay.
For a couple of years. And then I left screaming. But I still go back all the time. But I know Penrod's. I mean, I spent all my summers there, you know, growing up. Penrod's on the beach.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Ever go to Monty Trainers?
After work all the time.
Yeah.
That was their raw food bar. Totally amazing.
I was just there a few weeks ago and Darren, the drummer in our band, he's like, oh man, go to Monty Trainers. And I literally was like, my sister was like, hey, want to go to Monty Trainers? She's like, no. And I was like, she's like, why do you want to go there so bad? I was like,
it's so
I just
good.
Want to take a picture of myself there for Darren.
She's like, no. Look.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So how long were you there? Where'd
just
you live?
Just for a year. I lived in Fort Myer.
Okay.
And I would drive, you know, 45 That's minutes each way to the beach.
Which way is Fort Myer? Is that west?
Oh, God.
Fort Myer, no, it's a beach. It's north.
I'm sorry. Not Fort Myer.
Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale. Fort Myer is on the other side.
It's north.
Yeah. Fort.
Fort. Yeah, Fort Myer is on the west.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, just 45 minutes each way and don't get into a wreck because you probably won't see any money out of that one. But, yeah, that was like my favorite
I'm Cuban,
jobs
by the way, before you start bad mouthing them.
No, okay. I have a very good friend named Yonko who's very impressive. He could dance his butt off. And I worked with him at Nikki's too. He actually, I think, got here on a bus tire. So that was like eye opening.
Oh, he came from Cuba on a bus tire?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My family flew here in planes. I was born here. And my family's lame. Jerks. Well, I want a good story like that. Like a raft story. Those raft stories, man, that's some harrowing shit, man. That guy came on a tire all the way from Cuba. That's a long way.
Yeah, he was hardy. He was there are some really hardy, sweet people. Like they bust their asses, literally, to get here and get freedom and be able to pursue the things that we get to pursue, we take for granted. So I won't get on that soapbox, but
no, but you know, is it going to be political? What was your soapbox?
Well, just that the people that are born here need to take the opportunities that are given to them right in their lap.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of people. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah.
That's my soapbox.
Yeah,
that's...
yeah. There's very our people had a purpose, like very, very strong purpose to succeed. There's a very big drive to succeed among the Cuban people, I've noticed.
But with style and flair.
There's a lot of style and flair.
I love Buena Vista Social Club. Like
me too.
That's one of my favorite things that I got to do is be a plant in corporate functions to teach people how to do basic steps.
Oh, salsa
in
dancing?
Ballroom. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
That was fun.
That picture is my grandfather looking over their ranch in Cuba.
Oh, that's so cool. I love old pictures like that.
Yeah. Place safe. They were elegant. It was also an elegant time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very clean cut, very like old style hair.
Oh, yeah. That's the 40s, baby.
Yeah.
Or the early 50s or something. The pants were still pretty high waisted.
Hey, that's back in. That's totally back in. Being dapper.
I've noticed that with dudes
with
too.
With everybody being dapper.
What am I supposed to wear now?
Whatever you want.
What
you're
wear.
An artist. Whatever you want.
Well, you don't want to be like, I mean, I'm almost 50 and I still wear skinny jeans. And I'm wondering sometimes like, well, I mean, Mick Jagger still wears them. Like, he's like 70 something. So I'm not, you know, I'm not like a grandpa skinny jeans. I'm like uncle skinny jeans.
I prefer skinny jeans over baggies.
Well, yeah, what am I going to wear? Baggy jeans and look shorter than I already am?
I think that it's style points. Like, you have a cuff on yours even, too, so.
I'm just relaxing today. This is a very, I'm wearing my own shirt. I'm James Hetfielding today.
Well, I noticed your pants had a zhuzh on them. That's what that's called. When you roll sleeves and roll your.
Oh, yeah.
It's zhuzhing. Yeah.
This is also being Hispanic and growing up in the, seriously, like, I've always rolled up my pants.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For some reason. I don't know. It's weird. Like, summertime, got to roll them up.
Yeah.
Girl. It became very fashionable. Oh, I'm not even getting. Have you ever met my cousin Emily?
I have not.
You didn't meet her that night at that thing where I did the comedians? My cousin came in at the end. Like, she always misses, like, the thing. And, like, shows up at the end, like, oh, my God. She's like, one of those, like, you wouldn't believe what happened to me. Give me a drink. Someone give me a drink. So she told me one time, I had this girlfriend. She had these pants, and they were, like, kind of, like, just to here.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, shit, man, I'm going to wear those pants all day long. Man, that's cool as hell.
Yeah, the
almost like knickers or something. Yeah.
Capris. Yes.
So I wore them. Cool. She was like, dude, if you ever wear those again, I will kill you. Like, I will kill
Angus
you.
Angus did it, right?
Angus.
The cutoff.
Oh, no, he wore shorts.
There's the cutoff jeans with the fray on the end.
Angus Young?
Yeah.
He wore, like, straight up shorts. Like kid, like children at private, or at uniform schools would wear these uniforms, and they had shorts.
I could recall that he had some fringe on the end of some of them.
At some point.
Yeah. But the cutoff thing, I was making fun of Mark the other day. I was like, what are you, Angus? Because he doesn't like wearing shorts. He won't wear flip-flops either.
No. I'll wear flip-flops with my bathing suit to the pool, but I'm not going to wear jeans. What am I? Some guy on vacation? No, I know exactly what he means. Well, you're a rock star. Like, you can't fucking, like... I mean, this is stretching it. Like, I'm pushing it. But this is like, oh, it's my European side. I also, like, the Duran Duran guys, like, when I was a kid, like, when they were first starting out.
Yeah.
In the hot, they rolled up their pants. Everyone did.
Well, and so, like, I saw your glam makeup, too, like, on the cover of your album.
Yes.
Yeah, for Gaudi.
Yes.
And that was really cool, like, the red around the eye. Like, I love glam stuff, obviously.
Me, too. Yeah. That was a very glam band.
Mm-hmm.
Very.
Yeah. There's a couple of tracks that kind of reminded me of Failure, which I'm kind of a nerd girl for.
Oh,
that
really?
Group.
I don't
yeah.
know who Failure is.
Okay, so...
I know the name, but I don't think I know their music.
Ken Andrews is... He's amazing. He's done a lot of production work for, like, M83.
Oh, great.
And
Paramore. I really love M83.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's just somebody that I respect, and Mark respects him, too. And that's kind of how we ended up together, because... He's like, hey, I'm going to go see this band, and they're really obscure, and you probably have no idea who they are. I'm like, what is it, like, Failure? That's what came out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And he goes, actually, yeah, that's what's in my car right now. I'm like, that's weird.
And I could see hooking up in that way.
Yeah. That's how that worked.
Plus, he's cute.
He's
I really
cute.
Like him. Man, he's such a nice guy. One day we went to lunch, and he's just a nice guy.
Yeah. He's a real
talented
person.
Guy, hardworking guy.
Totally.
Both of you guys.
Thank you.
You're out there hustling on the hustle. It's not easy, is it?
No, it's not. It's you have to be slightly nuts and really committed.
Did you see that movie, The Disaster Artist?
No.
It's this movie James Franco directed about this real guy that made this horrible movie. But basically, like, the whole theme of it is, like, you have to be a certain amount delusional to get into this entertainment, movies, music, and to be like... Oh, Bono? Yeah, I'll be with him one day at a thing.
Right.
I mean, you've got to be slightly fucking delusional, right? But you also have to be really good. But sometimes, like, who decides? Because, like, basically this guy made, like, the worst movie ever made. But the whole time it's, like, this total commitment to this beautiful idea he has, which is exactly like any beautiful idea I've ever had, anyone you've ever had. But that guy's is terrible. And so you're like, wow, at what point, like, who draws the line? There's always that point, you know, like when you're making, probably when you were making this EP, at some point you listen to it, and there was one day you listened to it, you're like, oh my God, I'm going to rise to this level that people are going to, they're not even going to know what to do. This is amazing. And then they'll erect statues in my honor. And then just maybe 2 days later, you listen to it and you're like,
what
this
I
is done? Probably the worst thing anyone's ever... No one's got... Like, I don't like... This is terrible. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I think that's kind of... A, like, that's a good checks and balance process internally for someone.
I guess so. He never had that this is terrible.
Right. No, everything was wonderful all the time.
So,
yeah.
So what, when you left, Arizona, you came back to Texas?
So, I left Arizona, went to Miami.
Right. Miami. Sorry. Like, okay. I forgot about Penrod's.
And then, after that, I came back to Austin. Austin always has my heart. So, yeah. And my family, yeah. Which is my heart.
Just because you understand this, and a lot of people, I try to explain that. I moved from Miami. I was from Austin. I lived in Austin. I went to Austin High. Everything was super cool. My mom died. I had to move to Miami and live with my dad. But imagine moving from Austin to Miami.
Right.
Just like, you're like, oh, no. Because I really liked it here. And mm-hmm. I was like, finally, like, oh, yeah, okay. No one beats me up at school anymore like they did when I lived in the Woodlands, you know, because I was weird. Here, everyone was weird. It was like Ian Moore was at my school and Chris Searles and Elias Haslinger, who plays the Monday nights at the gallery and stuff. Those were my guys. And I was like, oh, fuck, finally. I found my dudes. And I moved to Miami, and it's Miami. Like, the mindset, there's not a lot of
soul
people
there.
Like us there.
There's a lot of pretty people there.
A lot of pretty people,
but not with your best interest in heart.
No.
So that's the main reason why I was there for only a year.
Yeah.
And I met my homies, and then I hightailed it out.
Yeah.
So
what'd you do when you came back here?
So I joined a prog rock group called Pyra. That was like I was jonesing to get in music as soon as I got back here, but I had to start over again because, like, I had that phone call with dad.
That's
like,
another
hey,
thing.
Dad.
They don't have bands in Miami.
No, they don't.
Like, I don't think the people understand. Like, they don't have bands.
No.
Like, the Mavericks came out of Miami, which is super weird that some huge country band from Nashville, they're actually a band from Miami, which
trip
is
out.
Odd. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, like, Miami Sound Machine, there's a lot of Latin
there,
music.
Yeah, there's
there,
that
but,
band, but like.
But not. Like rock.
Yeah,
like
there's
it's
no
not,
bands.
Yeah.
Marilyn Manson actually came from Fort Lauderdale.
That makes sense. Like that has to be a juxtaposed environment to create a creature like Mr. Manson.
Yeah. They did that to him there.
They did. Yeah.
That's what happened to him.
Yes.
Too much Penrod's.
Yes. Too much.
Yeah, I remember those ads. 103 She. So what year was that when you moved back and you got in that Pyra band? Would I know them? Where did you guys play?
So we did play a couple times at, Red Eyed Fly when it was Red Eyed Fly, which is now Sidewinder. And then Dirty Dog, which is still Dirty Dog, thank God.
What is Dirty Dog? Oh, I know what Dirty Dog is. Yeah. AJ plays there.
Yeah. So, you know, we
that's the place with the boob wall, the picture.
Yeah, the dirty booth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still haven't participated,
what
got
sad,
to say.
What a sad life I've led is that I go there and I just stand there and look at the wall. And I'm like, look, boobs. Like I'm 7 or something. Man, this place has just like hundreds of boobs. This is great, man. They serve booze, play rock and roll, just boobs.
Everywhere.
And like one weird video game where you have to hit something. That's what always like that place seems like it can get a little violent. Little guys like me. We jettison those places at an early hour.
I see. Well, I've seen a lot of good metal shows. I did see POD played there. That was a trip. I hadn't seen them in a very long time, so that was cool. But I've never seen like a violent crowd. I think
that because I went during the motorcycle time.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah, boy, that motorcycle time bummed me out. It was real loud outside. Everyone's really crazy. Anyway, sorry.
Lots of attention grabbers out there. That's what that is.
Yeah. It's like the little weenie parade. Like, everyone, we just want you to know, tiny weenie.
I'm glad you're saying the things that I'm thinking.
The tiny weenie parade. That's not going to go over well with the bikers that listen to the show. Not, they don't. Or they'd understand. I'm justifying that. I'm just going to get beat up everywhere I go because of the show. You do?
So
that was the cup. I didn't think girls like you did that.
No.
Made that sound.
No, themselves. I grow flowers. Yeah. That's all that happens.
That's all I've heard.
Yep. Look at you. I'm getting beclumped over here. What did I do when I came back here? Oh, yeah. The rock band
Pyra.
Thing. Yeah, Pyra. You know, did a couple hip-hop hooks on a couple different projects and just kind of kept going after that. And I made, okay, so here's a common pitfall that I think a lot of people fall into. There's like some cliche pitfalls that I think artistic people fall into, and okay. It's usually involving falling in love.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Or breaking up.
Or breaking up, yeah. One or the other.
Those are the only two things that happen to some people.
So they disappear either way, or like there's like a cocoon or an alternate reality that forms just with them. So I was kind of in an alternate reality there for a couple of years, thinking that artistically something was going to happen, and it never did.
Wait,
so.
You were in a relationship?
Yes, I was married.
Oh, yeah. You were? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Was he a music guy?
He totally
cat?
Was. Yeah.
He was.
He still, I mean, like he still I is,
say,
I think.
Like he's dead.
Well.
That's okay. I was married too. That's how I talk about her.
I'm in good company then. Yeah. We worked on this project for 8 years, and nothing came to fruition. So I felt kind of stifled and had to get out of the cocoon and go. And I didn't make the wrong choice, because in my journey, going through something emotionally hard, when I actually I prayed to the source or whatever you want to call it. I'm not going to put it in a box, but I did cry out. I had this conversation, and then in my Facebook inbox, it's the most pleasant communication I've ever received in there, aside from talking to you. I got a note from Heath Toll saying, "Hey, saw your demo on like probably the most unknown website ever." And he's like, "You want to meet with us?" And I'm like, "I'm going to go audition for The Voice again." And, they're like, you know, he said they typecast and I knew all those things, but I'm like, I had to do it for my journey.
Sure.
And so that's how that whole thing started. How we even started talking to each other was out of that. It was an answer.
So, yeah.
Then that happens. So you just got to keep hanging out and keeping to who you are.
Yeah.
What you want out of life, because it's short.
Yeah. Jesus, didn't realize you were going to come down heavy with that hammer, that reality hammer.
Well, we talked about boobs. I had to get a little real.
Boobs are real. I mean, most are real. I would say 68% of boobs are real.
Oh, there's so many jokes I cannot say right now.
Why can you not? What, do you have a publicist that said don't make dirty jokes?
Oh, no.
When you're hanging out with Johnny?
Well, you're,
like, I'm just a rolling dirty joke show.
Are you serious?
You listen to that album of Gowdy, every song is so dirty on that.
Well, I know. They're all explicit. Yeah, every single one of them.
Everything is explicit.
Yeah.
I like, and that Drag cool. City, that's a weird song.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know this book called The Story of O?
No.
It was a book that was banned, and it's like, it's pretty intense. It was like one of the first things ever that was like super bondage, and like a person is held captive by this other person. And it's pretty intense. And so a couple of us read it at the same time. Like, I was like, fuck, I got this book that was banned in like the 50s. And so we all were like super into it. And then at the same time, we had these managers that were always on our asses. They were these Scottish dudes. They literally just call you and be like, "Gowdy, did you write a song today?" And you're like, "No, dude, I just got up." Like, "Oh, I bet you got your fucking wank." Like, they're totally good. Like, "Stop wanking. Write a fucking song. Do something, Gowdy." Click. So that's where the "I can't be your bitch anymore," like, we were kind of like equating it with, like, I feel like O, which is the name of the girl in the story, like, sometimes I feel like they're yelling at us and we just do whatever they say, like O in the book. So then that's like, you know, we need to call her and be like, "I can't be your bitch anymore." We just couldn't stop laughing. We thought that was so funny. And then we had these friends, and they were a gay couple, and they had this like insane, the guy had broken up with the other guy, but it was, a lot of it was thematically the same thing. Like, I can't believe. So we just came up with all these weird scenarios and wrote that song around weird scenarios. Yeah. I don't know why I just told that story. Like, I was behind the music or something.
No, that's cool.
I have this friend named Tim Locke, who's an amazing songwriter. He used to come and stay with me, and we'd do these shows together. And then we'd go back to my house and hang out. And if I'd start ever on some kind of thing like that, he'd be like, hey, man, quit the Rolling Stone interview.
Well, but how else do you get your process out? Like, how... It's your journey,
writing,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, writing, but then like, yeah, it is the behind the scenes. Like, what led up to that? Yeah. What poked you?
Yeah.
What was the stimulus? And that's cool to know.
There was
that.
A lot of things that were getting to us that day.
Yeah. It makes sense.
That and the bridge, it sounds like a Ringo song for some reason to me. I always think it's Ringo's going to go, I was your baby. Because it sounds like that melodically sounds like Ringo, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a huge Ringo guy.
Yeah, a bit of the Beatles fan,
Yeah, a little bit.
Just a skosh.
Just a skosh. So how do you do this live? How do you pull this off live? What happens?
So I have a bunch of robots that I've wielded into submission. So it's essentially that's me and the music, and then... there's a projector. That's the artistic show that happens. And it's got a pretty deep and heavy meaning to it. So, like, we all project onto each other the things from our experiences. And I think in gender norms, we project certain things on people depending on sex. So that's one layer of it. So how I deliver it is I'm the only human element in the entire thing. And the rest of it is all electronic.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're the only person on stage like Kanye style. Like when he did that thing that was just, and I mean that because like the only thing I could think when I saw that was like, oh my God, it's just him. And like versus all those people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Essentially,
like,
yes.
I mean, that's, you can't like look over and go like, right? Boy, this is a tough crowd. You know what? There's no guy there to look, or homie.
No homies. Yeah. There's
your homie.
I'm having to
be my own.
That
takes a lot of balls, Barbie.
Thank you. Thank you for realizing that and saying that. I do miss the times where like the camaraderie of having a band and being able to connect and bearing the weight of the show with your band.
Right.
So that's
but we live in a different day and age where it's hard to find people that want to, like, to have a band where, like, financially it's impossible to be a solo artist and play a place the size of the Townsend and pay a whole band. I've tried it. It doesn't work.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's a reality of now. There's a lot more two-man bands that have come up over, not just because of the White Stripes or the Black Keys, out of sheer financial, like, oh, we can do this. Just, you know, the Sideshow Tragedy?
I have not seen them,
no. And those guys have been, you know, those guys stripped their guys off, got rid of dudes, and, like, for the last, like, 8 years, been two guys, and they've been able to tour all over the place because they can make it.
Yeah. Like, I figured out how to fit my entire show, including lights, into a carry-on case. And I have all control over it, too. So I'm like three outputs.
Is that hard? I mean, do you have to rehearse your show as a show? I mean, you have
yeah.
to.
Yeah. Oh,
have
yeah. To. That my entire... I bought a place in my... And much like your studio set up here, that's my rehearsal space. And I do that repetitiously.
That's... I bet you do.
Yeah.
I mean, I would do it, too.
Yeah. You have to. It's the stuff that people, your audience that you love and you want to give them this gift. They don't necessarily know that that's the work you're putting into it. You know, they just click a button forward.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think you guys did a great job with this EP. All of you did.
Thank you.
It's really good. Yeah. It's a self-titled Barbie DeFacto debut EP, and it comes out on June 23rd?
Yes.
Okay, so... People, there's no more like Tuesdays. That's over. Because it went Tuesdays and then it was like you could do Tuesday or Friday. And now it's like you can just release a record on a Sunday if you want to.
Okay.
I like structure.
Okay.
I don't like this just free for all. I like to have a certain day I know things are happening because then you get, you know, hey. So you're doing a release show Saturday, June 23rd at the Townsend, 7:30 p.m. With special guest DJ
Azra Sunil. He's from Say Coop. Azra Sunil.
Okay.
He's from Coop and my buddy Ritual.
He's from Coop.
Yeah. Coop 91.7.
Co-op.
See, yeah. That's that potato potato thing.
Yeah, no, that's actually co-op.
Is it co-op?
Yeah,
okay.
But it's spelled with a K, so it's spelled Coop.
Okay.
So if you see it, but if they say it. Oh, so he's on co-op?
Yes.
Radio? Okay.
Yep.
And then Ritual.
Yeah, he's a multi-instrumentalist. He knows how every single robot or synth ever worked.
How are you going to do this? You play first, and then those guys play after?
It's like a Barbie sandwich. So dance party in the front, dance party in the back, kind of like a weird mullet. So party on two sides and business down the center.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who plays first? Ritual?
Yes.
Okay. And then the DJ guy at the end so people can just cool out, meet, talk. You're going to be meeting fans.
Totally.
You're going to be selling anything? Do you sell things?
So I do have a limited pressed shirt, and I've got like this tank tops, and it's soft stuff too. So like I'm a girl, and this is a nice little nugget for a lot of people out there. The heavy weighted cotton t-shirts are totally out. If you have a girl that buys them, maybe sleep in it, and they'll never wear it in public.
No one will ever see it.
No.
I want to know if you have been listening to this whole podcast and you just heard Barbie say, I'm a girl, and you're like, shit, I thought it was a dude. I will give you $100. Tweet at me. I'm at Johnny Gowdy, or just like our Facebook page and let me know that you thought she was a dude up until she claimed that she was a girl. So, the release show Saturday, June 23rd at the Townsend, 7:30 PM are the Doors. It's a, it's a Barbie de facto sandwich. $10 at the door, but the entrance is free with an RSVP if they go to your website, barbiedefacto.com.
That's correct.
We came up with a date that this is going to come out, right? Yeah, we did. Okay, so I don't know when that is.
6/23.
No, the podcast.
Oh, the podcast. No.
We did. So there's another one that's coming out. Whatever. People don't need to get involved with that. Okay. It's not their problem.
Okay.
It's not your problem, listeners. Thank you so much for listening to the show.
Thank you.
Barbie de facto, thank you for coming over. Is there anything that I'm missing? Is there anything you want to tell the people?
Oh, no, you got everything covered.
I'll talk about your pieces. My pieces?
I just love you to pieces. You have a broken heart on your shirt.
I do.
Yeah.
It's all about, that's my own handwriting, by the way.
That's cool.
Just so you know. This is a thick cotton shirt. No one's going to wear it. But it's from the mid-2000s.
Okay.
It's like 2005, back when people wore them. Almost just like after ringers. Remember when people were wearing ringers?
Like up high?
Yeah. Do you know Zach Loy?
No.
He's an angelic fellow.
Okay.
Lovely, lovely fellow. Great producer. Great. You know what? You guys should meet.
Okay.
I think you guys would be great. He plays guitar in the band Live. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I mean, not originally. He's a dude from here, but now he's in that band. And he's always in the world out there playing.
That's awesome.
But he sent me a photo the other day of the first Gowdy shirt. It was like some weird thing that my ex-wife made for us. And it was ringers.
Super thick. Because
that was the cool shirt
to
have. Yeah.
Cool.
Thanks for doing the show. Everyone get out to barbiedefacto.com. Get involved. Debut EP comes out Saturday, June 23rd, along with the release show at the Townsend.
Red carpet, actually.
Red carpet. What does that mean? Like what it means?
Yeah, exactly. Red carpet. And
do you mean what you mean when you say things?
Most of the time, yes.
So you're going to have red carpet. Is there going to be a photographer?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, and you can get the photos?
Dress to express. So whatever you have in your closet that you're not allowed to wear to a wedding, you're supposed to wear that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I guess somebody's tweeting.
Hang on. No, someone's calling me. It's my doggy mama.
Oh, go.
Thank you so much for doing the show, Barbie.
Thank you.
Everyone get out there. Go to barbiedefacto.com. Nobody wants you to slow down. Come see me. Barbie de facto. You can find her at barbiedefacto.com. Her debut self-titled EP comes out next Saturday, June 23rd. She is celebrating with a release show Saturday, June 23rd at the Townsend right here in Austin, Texas. Doors are at 7:30 p.m. And the tickets are $10 at the door, but cats, If you RSVP from her website, BarbieDeFacto.com, you can get in for free, baby. And it's a red carpet situation. I guess they're going to have a photographer. You can get your picture taken as you're going to the place. Okay? So go to BarbieDeFacto.com for all of your Barbie DeFacto needs. Great getting to talk to her. I want to thank her for hanging out. She ended up hanging out for a while afterwards. We ended up shooting the shit for another hour off mic. Damn, I should record everything. I really should. Listen, while you're out there checking out BarbieDeFacto.com, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast. Follow us on Spotify, on Stitcher, on the Apple Podcast app. You'll get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. And hey, man, if you like the show, if you're a fan of Barbie DeFacto, share this on social media with the hashtag #HowDidIGetHerePod, and I will thank you. All right? Let's hear some more music from Barbie DeFacto. This song is called Pillow Fight. It's a jam. Let's get down. Caught up on the stage.